want to say some thank yous, but I'll do it at the end, because if I start with it, I'll just not get through it all. So I'll do that at the end. So we're continuing our series in 1st, 2nd and 3rd John, in living in truth and love. Here John is writing to the children of God, the little children, and he's writing about us. He's writing to us. It's for us today, as it was for those in the church then. When I read this passage that Angus read for us so well, two or three things really struck me. And they're the concepts of abiding, being born, and being his children. And when I thought about these deeply, my teacher brain went, oh, ABC. ABC, this is great, I can use this. So if you want to have a wee look at the screen, there should be a wee video coming up there.
A, B, A, B, A, B, C. A, B, A, B, A, B, C. A, B, A, B, A, B, C. Now I know my A, B, C. Oh, hello, headmaster.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm teaching him the alphabet.
It goes like this. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Now I know my A, B, C. Come along and sing with me.
I'll never remember that.
It's a joke to remember.
How's it going again?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G. No, it won't do. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
That's a bit I'll struggle with. It's too much. What about this? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Now let's learn to count to three. One, two, three. One, two, three.
Don't count to me.
No.
What are we doing?
Alphabet.
Now repeat. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
H, I, J, K, M, N, P. H, I, J, K, M, N, E, P.
You're saying Emily, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
It's
too fast.
It's got to be fast to rhyme.
Oh, it's got to rhyme.
Yes.
Okay. What about A, B, S, C, D, L, T, E, K, I, O, P, A, T, E.
Okay, so those children in that classroom are only learning their ABC. They're not learning anything else, but at least they know their ABCs. And I wondered whether we truly know then this abiding with Christ. The abiding with Christ, abiding in him. Do we know what it is to be born of God? To be born of God and then named as his children. When we think of abiding with Christ, now what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I think of the hymn, Abide With Me. We sing it very often. We sing it at church services. We sing it at funerals quite often. I have a friend who describes himself as a Titanorak. So if you're obsessed with Titanic, you might know that supposedly the band played Abide With Me as the Titanic slowly sank. But what does it truly mean to abide, remain, and dwell in Christ? Jesus promises in John 14 that those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Jesus wants to set up home in our hearts. He wants to be a permanent house guest. He doesn't want to be the person that we just put up every so often. He wants to be a permanent guest within our hearts. Paul goes on to talk about it then in Ephesians 3. He prays for the Ephesians that Christ will come and live, abide, dwell in their hearts. He prays that Christ may dwell in their hearts, your hearts, through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. And then Jesus himself says it in John 15, where he says, I am the tree vine. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Abiding with Christ, as John says in 1 John 2, is like a trusting. It's a trusting in him. It's a remaining in him, a connection with him, being in fellowship with him. The Greek that 1 John uses for abide means something like to remain in unbroken relationship, unbroken fellowship, to be rooted, as it were, in him, knit to him by the Spirit that we've received him. It's a believing, a trusting, a savouring, a resting, a receiving. So when 1 John says, now little children, abide in him, so that when he is revealed, we may have confidence and not be put to shame before him at his coming. Are we abiding in Christ? Or is he just a once in a while guest in the home of our hearts? We only let him in through the door every so often. Or is he a permanent resident in our hearts? We should be abiding in him, allowing him to abide in us, because what does John say will happen for those who do? Well, they will have confidence. Confidence when Christ appears again, when he comes again, because they know they are living their life as Christ would have them live their life. They will not be ashamed. This is the way to be confident when Christ comes again. When you abide in him, you're ready. You're ready to meet him face to face, because we have abided in him and he in us. So we thought about abiding. Let's think about what it is to be born of him. 1 John says, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who does right has been born of him. When we think about being born of God, and we think about the scriptures, we think maybe about Nicodemus, when Jesus says to him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus can't really conceptualize this, because how can you physically go back and be born again? He's confused, but I'll think about that in a wee second. But the same word for born here is used to describe families in the New Testament. It's what Matthew uses at the very beginning of his gospel to describe the genealogy of Christ. It says things like, Abraham was the father of Isaac, or Isaac was born of Abraham. Isaac was the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron. They're born of their father, and that's how they are recorded. They're born of the Father. Are we born of God the Father? Like Jesus says to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus says, well, how can I go back? How can I go back and be born again? It doesn't make any sense. Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born in the Spirit. We are born from above. We are born in the Spirit. We're born of God. John Piper, in writing about 1 John, I'm really out of breath because I keep walking back and forward. Sorry, I'm going to Okay, so John Piper talks about 1 John as being full of evidences of our newborn life in Christ, and he has 11 of them, so just bear with me. He talks about how those who are born of God keep his commandments, those who are born of God walk as Christ walked, those who are born of God don't hate others, but they love them, those who are born of God don't love the world. Those who are born of God confess God and receive or have him. When he says, born of God, confess the Son, they speak out the Son in their life. Okay, their lives show forth the Son. Those who are born of God practice righteousness. Those who are born of God don't make practice of sinning. Those who are born of God possess the Spirit of God. Those who are born of God listen submissively to the apostolic word. Those who are born of God believe that Jesus is the Christ. Those who are born of God overcome the world. So those who are born of God practice righteousness. What does it mean to practice righteousness? Or as our version this morning said, those who do what is right have been born of him. Well, this is the sign of our abiding, isn't it? Of our being in Christ and he in us, that shows forth in our lives. We are living as we should because we are born of him. We are born from above. We're born of the Spirit. So we're living righteously in all the ways we can. When someone is born of someone else, there's always some kind of family resemblance, isn't there? Either physically or in personality. I look like my mum, but I have my dad's personality. Thankfully, because my dad has like loads of facial hair, so that's good. Fingers crossed. I'm getting old, but haven't gone that way just yet. So you might say you look like your mum, you look like your dad, you're a combination of the two. Your personality's like your dad, you've got your mum's sense of humour. If we're born to God as his children, we have a family resemblance to our Father, who is our Father in heaven. What does that mean? Well, we reflect, we resemble our good, good Father. God is righteous. God is loving. God is kind. Christ is our Saviour. So those who are born of him practice practice righteousness. They reflect their Father, God. It is a living in his ways, a doing as he did. If you go on to the next slide here, there you go. Marilyn Parish website, screenshot. What is our vision in Marilyn Parish? It is being with Jesus, being more like Jesus, and doing the things that Jesus did. That's how we live out our abiding, our being born of God. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. We're born of him. We know what it is to be his children. The last part of 1 John, our reading from 1 John this morning. See what love the Father has given us. We sang this morning, see what love. See the love. See the love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. What a blessing is that? To be so deeply loved by our Father in heaven that he would claim us as his own children. What an incredible love is that? We should be called children of God, and that is what we are. When we claim Christ, that is what we are. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all those who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. See what kind of love this is. Love that has been given freely. It's been lavished. It's been bestowed upon each one of us. His love is so great that he sent his Son to die for us so that we would have the opportunity to live as his children, not on this, just on this side of heaven, but on the other side for all eternity. Spurgeon says that God glories. He glories in the fact that he has taken us for sons and daughters. God is ultimately pleased when he sees us come to him through Christ. The Father says, I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me. It is God's greatest joy to see us coming to him through the Son. Think about the Father as he saw the prodigal son on the road. The fact that when he saw the Son, he didn't wait for the Son to come to him. He ran down the road to meet him. And Jesus Christ, the Son, says this, "For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified will have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." We are in family relationship with Jesus Christ. He is our brother. He is our friend. He is our counselor. You know, how incredible is that? How incredible is that? And the Spirit says this, when we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. When we are in Christ, we are heirs of God with Christ, and we will enjoy eternity with him, and we will reign with him. That is the love and the promise of God. That is what John is saying here to us. And even if the world does not recognize this, what does John say in chapter 3? He says this, "The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." There will be times when it will be like the world does not recognize us. But what does the Bible tell us over and over again? And we say it over and over again, we're to be in the world but not of the world. We are Christ's witness here in the world. And because of our unique parentage of God, because God is our Father, we are strangers to this world in so many ways. But we bear witness to him in our abiding, in our being born of him, in our witness to the world as children of him. And we need to be careful that our lives don't reflect the world. Who should we be reflecting at all times? We reflect God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. There's a danger when Christians work hard to show the world just how much like the world they can be. We cannot be surprised or even offended sometimes when we find that the world does not know us or recognize us. But that is why there's such comfort in the words of Christ. You know, that we're not of the world, just as I am not of the world, as he says. Our identity is in him. Our identity is in him. And John goes on, he says this funny little bit. He says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, but what we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this, when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is when he is revealed. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is." What's he talking about? Heard a story about, if you go on to the next slide for me, please, little Johnny. Little Johnny got a brand new baby sister, and she screamed her head off, screamed. She was really bad sleeper. She was always screaming, and he asked his mum, "Oh, mum, where do we even get her from?" And his mum says, "Well, she came from heaven, Johnny." And he says, "Well, I can see why they threw her out." John is talking about heaven, when the new heaven and the new earth appears again, when Christ comes again, we will see him as he is, and all that we are and all that we're living for is revealed. Heaven is our home. We're born from above, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. Stott says this, he says that what we are does not appear to the world now. What we shall be does not yet appear to us. It's that idea from 1 Corinthians 13, isn't it? You know, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." And now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. We have this hope and this confidence that when we abide in him, when we have been born of him, born of the Spirit, born again, and have become his child, we will see him face to face. He will be revealed to us, and all that we will reach our full potential then in the appearing of Christ when we see him. You know, we were looking at Revelation for a little while, and John says, in the midst of the seven lampstands, if you remember, he says, in the midst of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were as white wool, white as white wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining with full force. Christ we will see fully in his heavenly being, Lord. And we are transformed when we see him in glory, and this will all be like a reflection, like a mirror reflection. Spurgeon says this, he says, when a man looks into a bright mirror, it makes him so bright, for it throws its own light upon his face, and in much more wonderful fashion, when we look at Christ, who is all brightness, he throws some of his brightness upon us. In the meantime, we live in love and truth, we live as righteous and pure in our reflection of God our Father. And amazing and incredible things can happen when we truly abide in God through whom we are born again and for whom we are named children. I was telling some people that I challenged myself this year to watch or to read more than I watched television. Does that make sense? And I was reading actually Maud Kales' book. And if you know anything about Maud Kales, she was she was a missionary to the Congo. And her whole story is just this beautiful story of what it is to abide in Christ and to live fully in him and allow him to abide in her. And if you read it, you know, and if you know anything about Maud Kales, you'll know that it hasn't been an easy journey for her at all. She was shot at 75. She was shot and recovered and was back in the Congo again. She's an incredible, incredible woman. But she says this. She says, when I look back now and rejoice for the limited ways in which I shared his suffering, I rejoice. What an honour to identify with him, trivial though my experience was in comparison to what he did for us. When we deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow him, we are saying that we are willing for whatever that entails. It is an adventure. Following Jesus, walking with him, when we do not know where he will lead us, it is the most exciting life. Amazing things happen when we abide in Christ, when we allow him to lead us, when we follow him, when we walk with him. So are we abiding? Are we continuing to abide in Christ and allowing him to abide in us? Is he a permanent resident within our hearts, or is he just somebody we let in through the door every so often? Are we abiding in him through the Spirit, power of the Spirit? And are we living in righteousness, continuing to live as Christ would have us live, in a way that glorifies God, that reflects him? And are we amazed at that love that the Father has given, bestowed, lavished upon us, that he would call us his children? When we're born of his Spirit, we are his children. Do you know that deeply, that you are a child of God? And are we confident in the knowledge that we will be made like him when we see him face to face? I just like to pray for us. One wee moment, let's just pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who is righteous, who is loving, who is good, Lord, we thank you that we are your beloved, that we are your children, that you love us so deeply. And Lord, we pray we would have hope and confidence in this, in our abiding, in our being born again, and in our existence as your children. Amen. Amen. I said I would do a few wee thank yous. I was a wee bit overwhelmed really this morning. I would just like to say a huge thank you to all of you. You've been incredibly special to me, and I will carry all of you with me. I have had the most fabulous time. It's been wonderful in so many ways. It's been a really positive challenge just to live amongst you, to have an opportunity just to experience life with you, to journey with so many of you. I want to say just a really big thank you, and just be assured of my prayers for you, and I appreciate you all so much. And to all the staff team who have just been fabulous. I was looking for Paul, but he's not there. You've been so fabulous. And to Simon and Curtin, and to Zara and Jane, thank you so very much for everything. Yeah, so thank you so very much. Thank you very much.